Good morning, everyone. Nice to see a lot of familiar faces and some not as familiar as I'd hoped. But yeah, great to see you guys. And want to welcome the ladies and a few fellas from Faith Church in Rochester. And I was trying to calculate. I know we've done this like for 30 years. I don't know with the same churches all the time. Yeah, not with the same churches, but we've had a ladies' lunch. It started off in the basement of the church, and we would crowd that basement full of ladies and do that. That was quite a while ago. So it's really nice to have good friends in the faith, you know. And guys, welcome to you too. Yeah. So we're, you know, and what I do as a preacher and pastor, I work through books of the Bible, and we're in the book of Romans, and the real point that Paul shows us is how much we gain by believing in Jesus Christ. And we've talked about that already, and I'll show you a little review, but the idea of the life that we live in Christ, and I remember as a young Christian, I just would look at life and I would think, you know, how do people without Christ have anything good come out of the troubles and trials of life? And I was thinking about that this week as I'm going through the text and thinking about what God's done. God does so much good for us through faith in Jesus Christ. So here is a paradigm of the first few chapters of Romans that we've already covered. And the beginning is sin. And for 2.5 chapters, Paul talks about sin in all levels. Sin of pagan people who just ignore God altogether, and sin of the Jewish people who still did the same things as the pagan people, but at least they practiced or tried to practice the law, right? And sin is a very destructive force in this world. It destroys lives, it destroys homes, it destroys communities. It eventually, according to the scripture, will destroy the world. Sin, the worst part about sin is it separates us from God. It separates people from God. And that's the real tragedy of it. And if you follow the paradigm, if a person stays in sin and lives in sin and never takes what God has given us to get us away from sin, you end up under wrath and separated from God, and we call that hell. And can you imagine, this world is bad, but God is still present in this world. Take God out of it. Take all of God's people out of it. Take anything good out of it, and you know, that's what you're left with, right? So sin is a real problem, and God struggled with people for, you know, thousands and thousands of years, trying to, you know, help them to hear the truth and help them to follow the truth. But then he finally gave his perfect plan when he gave us Jesus Christ. And it's only through faith in Jesus Christ that we possess the power to break free from sin. We can break free from that paradigm of wrath, that paradigm of judgment, that paradigm of being God's enemy, and we can become what Paul calls justified. And justified means when God looks at you, listen, when you have faith in God and you have faith in Jesus Christ that he died for your sins, you have faith that God rose him up from the dead to give you new life, right? When you have that kind of faith, it says God then looks at you and he says, you're good. That's how he looks at us. He looks at us as righteous. The King James, I think, said reckoned as righteousness. But the point is that God looks at us, how he thinks of us, is we are righteous. Why? Because we earned it, right? No, because we believed in Jesus Christ. The righteousness that comes from God, it only comes through believing in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul shows us. He goes in chapter 4, he tells us, because of that, we belong to Abraham, who had the same kind of faith. We become his children. And the great thing about being one of Abraham's children, Paul puts it this way, he says, they become the heirs of the world. Now, that's not this world. That's the kingdom of heaven, the glorious world. We talked about that last week, just the idea of the new heaven, the new earth, and all the perfections of that, and that we too will be perfect. We were singing that song, There's a Fountain, and the last verse is, you know, the third verse is the power of the blood of Christ is to make us and bring us into the kingdom of heaven where we will never sin again. That is worth looking forward to. That's a great, precious promise. But in chapter 5, he adds to this list of the things that come to us. So he said justification, yes. We belong to Abraham and people of faith, yes. And we are heirs of the world. Great promises. But then he goes on to tell us, and it's interesting, two of the verses we teach the gospel to the kids are in this little section. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How many young people know that verse? That's our second verse, right? Yeah, okay. Since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine a home where there's not peace. Argument, estrangement, sometimes hatred. Isn't that a terrible place to live? That's how sinners try to live with God. There's no real connection. There's alienation. There's separation, right? But he says now because we've been justified, because God has given us faith, because we believe, I'm given us righteousness, because we believe in Jesus Christ, right? He says now we're friends. Now we're getting along. Now I can walk with you through your life. It's so important. So important to have God walk with you through life. And we'll see this in a minute. Life is not easy. Life often brings real challenging things to us. But to walk with God as we go through life is much better. And that's only possible through Jesus Christ and through having that peace with God. He says, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we stand. Now, that grace is such a powerful word. And grace is just very simply someone who's bigger, someone who's stronger, someone who's more able, going down to help someone up. And what are we talking about? We're talking about we have an almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, dwelling in the heavenly realm, and he gives us help. He gives us grace. And he says, and we stand in that grace. You know, folks, if we don't have the grace of God working in our life, if we don't have the Spirit of God testifying to us, if we don't have those good things that God's offered us through Jesus Christ, man, we're in trouble, right? We're in trouble. But because of Jesus Christ and our faith in Jesus Christ, God has given us this help and this strength that we need in life. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It's interesting that, you know, the definition, first there's the word rejoice, and it's basically an attitude of confidence in God, or to say glory in God. You know, the idea of, you know, we glory in God because of the great promise he's given us. And this thing is the glory actually, in the definition of that particular form of the word, is a place which is glorious as such. A reference to heaven, glory, heaven. So he says, we rejoice in the great promise that God has given us, that we get to be with him. Can you imagine standing with all the people that have ever had faith in God from the very beginning? Standing together in that massive crowd of saints, no sinners, all saints, all praising God, all looking at the glory of the Father, all seeing the majesty of the great Prince of Heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the fullness of the Spirit filling the entire place of that new heaven, new earth. That's what he's saying. We rejoice in that hope. Hope is always future, right? You know, I'm getting older. It crosses my mind that I'm not going to be here forever. And some of that stuff, like, what happens there? And God just says, you know, don't worry about that. He says, think about what's after that. Meditate on the kingdom of heaven. Meditate on the glories of that new heaven, new earth. Meditate on the idea of what God does to perfect us. Think about that, right? And so anyway, we rejoice in the hope of the glory, that great promise. Then we have this biblical statement James makes it. He says, count it all joy when you endure different kinds of trials, different kinds of troubles. Paul says that, you know, we rejoice in suffering. Not only so, we also rejoice in our sufferings. And sufferings has all different kinds of components. There's just life itself, right? Life itself, things maybe physically not working, you know, physical pain, physical sickness, you know, trouble. The word here, philipsis, actually, you know, it means to press down, right? That suffering, there's like a pressure in life. There's like a pressure that can weigh on people, right? So the idea, we've got a lot of young families and the pressure of raising kids and having them keep you up all night. And it adds pressure. It adds challenges to your life, right? We mentioned, you know, sickness. The idea of just all the bad news that's out in the world, right? All the bad news. And just think about it. You know, I always attribute all of that to sin, right? But it's around. It's part of the environment we live in. The idea of you know, just the crazy way people drive on the roads. I drive to go out someplace, and I have a real hard time not being, like, frustrated by the way people going 100 miles an hour and zipping and zapping and just kind of scary and sad. There's a lot of different kinds of pressures just from living. And you could probably add a few things to that list, right? But then there's the pressure of being a Christian in our world. Like, you know, please change your message. Please add something to it that makes me feel better. You know, don't you dare stand in front of us and tell us what God says, right? And I kind of watch the younger culture. It seems like, not you guys, the ones coming after you. It seems like, you know, there's a real intolerance for authority. There's a real intolerance for truth and that kind of stuff. And you know, as a Christian, I have to tell the truth. As a Christian, I have to say what God has said. As a Christian, when I share the gospel, I can't start with, oh, the love and joy and peace of God. I have to start with sin, because that's how the gospel starts. It tells you the bad news, because you have to be rescued from something. That's what salvation is, right? So suffering, just under the persecution, Paul talked about sharing the suffering of Christ. And in other words, suffering as a Christian equals sharing the sufferings of Christ. And he says, if we share in those sufferings of Christ, we shall also share in his glory. And he goes on to say, and that glory is not worthy to be compared to the suffering that we endure in life. Right? Every church, the Thessalonians, Galatians, Philippians, and many other churches suffered. I mean, open persecution and trouble and trial. There's people in China right now, if they're actually sharing the gospel, they could go to prison. They could be executed, right? There are many other places in the world. In Russia, you know, I used to go with Jim Foote to Russia, and you're not allowed to invite someone to church. It's against the law in Russia to invite someone to come. So that kind of pressure, and there's pressure in life, right? And he says, rejoice in the pressure, not because the pressure is fun, not because the trials and troubles of life are fun, but because they produce something. And he says, rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Now, we suffer. There's not a person on the planet. Just think about this. There's not a person on this planet that doesn't suffer. We either suffer with Christ and in Christ, or we suffer apart from Christ. The person that suffers apart from Christ receives no good benefit out of that. They don't have a God to help them. They don't have that peace with God where they can call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, I think I'm at my point where I don't know if I can take this anymore. Can you please help me? And then find the grace of God and the work of God to help us to continue on. The word perseverance, hupomone, a capacity to continue to bear up under difficult circumstances. Suffering produces perseverance. There's a whole theology called the perseverance of the saints. Those who really belong to God, those who really walk with God and really belong to the kingdom of heaven, they persevere. Suffering comes, trouble comes, trial comes, right? But we still stand. At the end of the day, I'm still believing in Jesus Christ. I'm still confessing that God's promises are the only promises that I'm going to count on in this world, because every word that comes out of his mouth is a promise, and he will do everything that he ever said, right? I'm just convinced that God is still my Lord and my Savior, and however it happens, I pass from this life into eternity, God is there, and God is going to uphold me, and God's going to take me in, and God's going to do everything that he told me that he would do. Perseverance of our faith is probably the most important part of persevering. Don't let anything in this life, and this is, you guys know I'm a fan of the book of Revelation, and the whole book is about the world and the devil trying to destroy the faith of the saints, making war against the saints. God gives us perseverance. The one who overcomes, you read those chapters, they're the ones that get to eat from the tree of life, they get the white robes, they get the new name, they get a ticket, basically, into the kingdom of heaven. And so many great, precious promises from God, because they overcome, they persevere. So perseverance is something that comes to Christians because they have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character. And like just that real brief, perseverance, character, right? Character, and really I would translate it genuineness. Genuine. When you've gone through life and you've been tried by pressures and you've been tried by circumstances and you still stand and you're not going to move, that means you're genuine. You are the real article. You are the real child of God. That's what God's looking for. And he uses all the things of this world to help us to grow towards that genuine belonging to him, that genuine nature of being his children, that genuine call to stand with him in eternity and to be his, right? Peter tells the young church, he says, "Beloved, do not be surprised, the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you may share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice in exultation." In other words, you know, how do we deal with trouble? How do we look to what God's doing? What's God doing? How's God used the pressure? You know, some of us live in the city, and there's certain pressures that come to us by living in the city. How do we deal with that? We walk with the Lord. We, you know, I think about that. I've walked in dark alleys at times. And as I'm going through, you know, a dark alley at night, I'm thinking, well, you know, what's going to happen to you? I said, well, the Lord's with me, right? The Lord is my shepherd. His rod and his staff, they comfort me, okay? And the idea of that is that, you know, God is building something in us, making us genuine, making us his. And he uses these things. The trouble of life, the trouble of the neighborhood can make us strong. Also gives us great opportunity to do some good, right? But he uses these things to grow us and strengthen us and to give us that character, that genuineness of belonging to him. And when we're genuine, when we know, right, who God is, when we know that he's been working on us and that he's using these things to make us better, how many of us actually rejoice in suffering? No. How many of us, though, after a period of being pressed down, of pressure, and then realizing how God's worked something out in us and made us better, how many times do we say, you know, God, I didn't like it, but praise God, it was good at the end. You did something in my heart. You did something in my life. You helped me to become more your person. That builds hope. That builds hope. And again, the hope is always forward. He says, and hope doesn't disappoint. And we sang this song, "I lay in Zion, and he that believes will not be shamed." Literally, that the word disappoint can mean be ashamed or disappointed. If we're trusting in God, if we're walking with God, if God is working on us through all the circumstances of life and doing good in our lives through all things, good, bad, or whatever, right? If God's at work in our life and we're saying, you know what, I'm hoping in God, I'm going to walk with God until the end and I'm going to walk with him forever, he says, we'll never be ashamed of that kind of faith. We'll never be ashamed. Because when, at the end of the day, it will be what God says it is. It will be good for us, right? So we look forward with confidence to what God is doing. And God has poured out his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. The thing that testifies to all this work of God. Just see, I mean, these are just things mounted up one after another about faith in Jesus Christ. And God has given us the Holy Spirit. I love to worship with people. I love to stand and I love it because as we worship together and the witness of the Spirit is present, it testifies to all this good stuff. It testifies to everything that God is doing. And so he gives us that. I'm going to read this part rather quickly because I thought about ending there, but this is important. It says, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely would anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. Our other verse, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I wasn't born righteous. I wasn't born walking with God. And I wish I would have done it sooner. I was 22 when I finally really started walking with God. While I was a sinner, Christ died for me, right? He made it possible for me to know him. Since we now have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if we were God's enemies and we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved in his life? Not only so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received reconciliation. Reconciliation is, right, the separation, and God's brought us back together through Jesus Christ. Here, he's talking to us about the idea of, again, the power of what Christ has done. This is just a little paradigm to help us think. If I ask people, I say, what does it mean that Jesus Christ is your Savior? How many would say, he forgives my sins? And that's kind of the end of it. And I'd say, you know, we need to understand more about what Jesus Christ has done for us. He made us righteous, okay? He does forgive us. He does give us mercy. He does give us grace. He makes us Abraham's children, which means that we are heirs of the world. He gives us new life with peace with God, a rejoicing in his glory, a rejoicing in suffering, persevering. He makes us genuine. He gives us hope, and he gives us the Holy Spirit. He reconciles us with God, and he eventually leads us to the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's a better statement of faith. That's more about what God has done when we believe in Jesus Christ. It's really important for us as God's people to express that faith. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe by that God gives me forgiveness, God gives me mercy, God gives me grace. I believe that by his death, he gives me righteousness. I believe that God rose Jesus from the dead. And I believe that now he stands with the Lord Almighty in the center of the throne of heaven with power and authority, and he speaks on our behalf. He speaks to the Father for our good. He is our paraclete, our helper. He is the one who stands for us alive, speaking today in heaven for us. So it's not just the death, but it's the resurrection that we believe in. And by that great power of Christ, we have a new life, a new way to be because of God's work. Amen. Amen.